Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend to you, Frank Roach, with another Focus on Community. Good to have you along. Tara Mayor Dick Bennett joins us this weekend. What's going on?
Oh, just great to be here. New year and just a lot of exciting things happening. So ready to get going.
That's it. It is a brand new year. 2019 was a big year for Terre Haute. And, as we mentioned, we have lots of folks in outlying communities, too. Don't necessarily think that you're not going to hear something interesting, because Terre Haute does affect a lot of these outlying communities, too. And Terre Haute was had a big year in 2019.
Absolutely. Things go through cycles. There's no question. And we've been working on some things for a few years, and 19 ended up just kind of being a lot of things came together. And just from the casino, obviously, is huge. The convention center is huge for us. At the end of the year, right there at the very tail end, the police station opportunity came up with the Tribune Star building. So it was kind of like the whole year was full of big things, where normally we have a few big things and a lot of little things. And 19 just turned out to be a very significant time for Terre Haute.
In 2019, the state legislature is in session right now. 2019 was a big lift for Terre Haute to get through the casino.
I'm still a little bit shocked that we pulled that off. There are communities that have been working on things for many, many years, or just trying to get anybody to listen to them in the legislature, let alone turn it into a bill or get it filed and then be heard. And we went through two cycles, because 3 years ago that first bill went over there, and I think we gained some traction, but it was like, I don't know, this is going to be really difficult. And then the second time around, I think people thought a couple things. One is that we did a really good job as a community to present ourselves as being behind this, being supportive of their tough decisions they make. But then two, the fact that gaming was under stress from all these other competitors in adjoining states, that was a good timing for us. And so when the state sees an opportunity to make some money, which they will off this change with Gary and Terre Haute, it opened the door for us. And
there was a couple of things about that, though, because you did have Gary and all of their people up there, which, make no bones about it, they have some pretty influential folks in the state house up there, right outside of Chicago. And of course, there's that competition between Illinois and Indiana up there. Things kind of fell into place there, too, to where Terre Haute got a lot of help from places other than just in Terre Haute.
Well, if you just step back and look at this, they're Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, who got beat in the primary last year, she's no longer the mayor, but her push was to get those boats, those casino boats, off of the lake and move them inland so they could free up that lake space to create kind of another port up there, if you will. And there was a great economic story with that potential. We'll see if it ever comes to fruition. But that was part of this conversation, too, that you move the boats, you move one to Terre Haute, you move one, on the interstate in Gary, you free up the lake space there to develop some economic development opportunity. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, we'll see once again if they play that out. But that was a big part of the equation. There are a lot of legislators that wouldn't have supported that if there wouldn't have been some trade-off in future jobs and future revenue to the state.
Yeah. One of the other things, too, is the fact now we've got the casino coming to Terre Haute. There's a proposal in this legislative session to kind of change how some of that deal works as far as, because the local operator, whoever it winds up being, which there's only one person that even put in a bid for it, but they have to pay millions over the next couple of years to these other places because of what they may lose. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like putting up a new fast food joint, but you have to pay the other three fast food joints within a city block, 50% of your profits, because those people aren't going to be eating there, but that's kind of, there's that proposal that's now in the state legislature.
Well, and I completely understand the thinking of legislators. I don't agree with that either. I just think it's the free market ought to be the free market. But my guess is that's probably not going to get much traction. I think some of these legislators, especially in the big communities or communities that have casinos, they feel like they have to protect their turf. And so they have the power, when they're writing the laws to balance the playing field how they see it.
One of the things that kind of crossed my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I wonder if some of the folks at the State House didn't look at Terre Haute and think this is the last major metro area in the state that has largely gone undeveloped. There's lots of growth in Fort Wayne, lots of growth in Evansville, lots of growth in Lafayette and in the Donut up around Indy, but there hadn't been a whole lot going on over here.
Well, there has been things going on, but not been the real visible kind of things. Yeah. To get the credit at the state level, you know, where the governor and others are.
I'm just wondering if maybe they finally looked over here and said, you know what, maybe there is a place to go that we haven't been.
Locally, we pushed on them that it's our turn. It is our time. And we've done some things and laid the groundwork for us showing that self-sufficiency. But why not get some help from the state like all these other communities have over the years? Now, some of them have had influential legislators from their communities. Obviously, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
Our legislators are developing a lot of credibility over there and getting things done. And so I'm thinking this may just be the tip of the iceberg for us. We're going to continue to ask for more and get some more help and partnership with the state, because they're the ones that have the deep pockets. And if they're going to make investments or they're going to direct private investments somewhere, we want them to have Terre Haute at the top of their mind when they're having these conversations.
And the fact that literally we're less than an hour away from Indy on the interstate. And of course, the interstate itself probably needs a little bit of help.
It needs a third lane for sure. And we're working on that with them. But you're right. It's, you know, there's, you go to California places, people drive 2 hours to get to the, you know, to a job or to talk to their legislature.
And that's a 10-mile trip.
Exactly. And so it's not that far away, but it takes forever to get there. In our case, you know, you could be in downtown Indianapolis in an hour and 10 minutes, usually with no traffic issues on 70. And so we just want to make sure that they hear from us on a regular basis. We're developing these partnerships and constant relationships. People come and go, but you got to make sure they know Terre Haute's over here.
A couple of things are on the plans for 2020. We'll take them a couple at a time. I guess the convention center, that's the official groundbreaking was last year, although really it was just dirt piled on the pavement that we went out and
that's what we did.
Anyway,
we had hoped that those property agreements would be finished by then. We would actually have closings, and they just didn't happen. A variety of things came up. You know, one of the things with Clabber Girl and Holman and Company was the sale of the track. We didn't know that was going on in the background, but they kind of put the sale of that property we're purchasing from them on hold. That's been taken care of now. And we're still working with Dora, who owns the hotels there. There's just been a lot of trying to figure out what we're going to do about parking. That's been the biggest issue there. And I think we've generally got that worked out where they can move forward. We've got a board meeting, another board meeting coming up this week, and we're going to know a lot more here than what we did. The holidays mess up things too. All the attorneys take off for the holidays, so things slowed down a little bit.
You know, there's some folks that talked about this a little bit. Now, of course, the school corporation has kind of changed up some of those plans, perhaps, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have to see how that plays out. But if they decide to, and it looks like they probably will, vacate their building there at 7th and Wabash, now there's talk about maybe not building a garage and using that as a parking lot, which has gotten some people kind of going, do we really want a parking lot right there on Wabash downtown?
Well, there's already, there's three parcels there, if you will, and two of them are parking lots. So this would, the only thing that would be added would be where the building sits.
Yeah.
So we would be removing a tremendous amount of surface parking and putting back in just a tiny little footprint. And so it would save us about $3 to $4 million to do that. So we're just looking at that as an option. We think that's a good use of taxpayer money to, if we can save that from that second parking garage. And then later on, when finances change a little bit for Dora and others, maybe we could do a public-private partnership to get that garage built. And then we own that land on that corner to develop into something else.
Okay, but do you get, though, where some people are concerned about because that is a look in Terre Haute's history, that's an important intersection, that's an important corner.
Absolutely.
And do we really want a couple of bushes in a parking lot?
Well, there already is two parking lots there.
I know,
so
I know,
but you're folks only adding a small one.
Folks have hope for a little bit more,
and they may, but so that's why we brought the convention center downtown and we didn't put it out somewhere else. You know, Holman Center's going under $50 million renovation. We've got a couple new businesses that have opened up downtown just in the last few weeks. We understand that completely. People still complain about parking. We have two parking garages now.
Yeah. Well, we do or we don't. I mean,
well, the city doesn't, but the downtown has. What I mean.
Yeah, one of those is privately owned as a public but the other one is predominantly owned by the university, and it's
predominantly, but it's open to the public. It's got spots.
But they've got most of it.
They use a lot of it, and the state office employees use it, so they rent a lot of space off of them. which is right across the street. But let's just go back to that for a second. We're going to remove, I say we, just because from a downtown perspective, the whole half a block lot of Clabber Girl and the State Office Building parking, then the little parking lot next to Copper Bar, and then the whole east parking lot of Hilton Garden Inn. All that goes away, and you're adding back in about 30 spots, a little 30-spot parking lot at 7th and Wabash.
Yeah. I guess does it not make sense to just build up and stack it instead of...
Except it costs $6 million to build a parking garage, and it may cost about $2.5 million to $3 to do the surface parking.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the money for that's already... It's already planned. It's already there.
What's that?
For the parking garage. That's part of the whole convention center
ordeal.
Yeah,
but we pulled it out. It's pulled out of the deal right now. We have completely taken it off the table because it's too expensive. We're going to build the big parking garage we're building is $6 million. The little parking garage was going to be $6 million only because it has to be built much higher. You can't use a kit perspective.
Yeah.
You've got to build it in a smaller footprint. And so the design and what's required for that made the cost go up a lot more than we would have ever thought.
Okay. All right. Well, when are we going to know for sure exactly?
I would say, you know, we're going to move ahead with the convention center and the parking garage back on 9th Street. And I would say we'll know something about this other parking lot probably within the next 45 to 60 days.
Oh, okay. The new police station downtown, Tripstar's gone. Well, I mean, I say gone, but they're off.
Out of the building, yes.
And now it's sitting there.
Yes. And so we're waiting on Garmong to give us a formal proposal. We've been working with them now for
they
a couple
own the
of
building,
months.
Which a lot of folks I don't think ever really realize.
They've always owned it, and leased it to the Tribune Star. So we've been meeting with them off and on. They've got the build-out costs for us now, so we kind of know generally what it's going to cost if we want to do what we proposed to them. And so I would say in the next week we will have a formal proposal that we can move forward with.
Oh, okay.
And we're really close. The holidays kind of slowed us down on that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So when are you wanting to have this pretty much done? Where police are there and they're moved in and they're operating and that is just behind us.
It'll be about 6 months after we sign the agreement. So give us another 30 days or so to get the details worked out, get it to the boards, get them approved, and then about 5 to 6 months of remodeling.
Considering where the police are at now, what happens to their space when this is all done?
Well, that building there on Wabash is in very poor condition, so it needs to come down. Okay. We own about 2.5 acres out there, and then you know that building sits on that.
Yeah.
We've had some interest from some people who would be willing to buy it and redevelop it. I don't know which direction it'll take, but we will get some money back out of that at the end.
Okay.
And get it back on the tax rolls.
So what else for 2020 are we missing? Because let's face it, we covered the three biggest areas there, you know. So what are we missing in 2020 that's on the way?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of smaller things. Those are big things. Yeah. When you talk about a casino,
and
police
station. And they overshadow
they do.
A
Absolutely.
Lot of
Absolutely. I think you're going to continue to see investment on the east side and in downtown both. We've had a lot of retailers kind of look at things again who kind of dropped off for a while. You know, we got a new tire store coming out on the east side. You got the new VA hospital that's going to be built out there behind Walmart. When the casino gets started, I think that's going to generate additional, once they know it's real, going to generate some more activity. The airport is looking to do some expansion with more hangars and things. They're completely full again now, building new ones, and they've got a waiting list for the next few years.
That's one thing that was kind of brought up about the airport was they're looking to get some federal grants and stuff to increase their fire protection out there. And there was mention, is there something to where the city and the airport are going to work together on that?
Well, we've talked about it for years. The problem is there's not enough fire activity at the airport to staff it with its own fire station. That would be very expensive to do that.
And with the Air Guard gone now,
they provided the fire protection before. And so unless you have a flying mission out there, they're not going to provide that service. And so their equipment that they have, the airport has, that was donated to them, is just old. I mean, it's outdated, and it's just needs to be replaced. So we're continuing to have conversations, but we're going to build a new fire station out on that east side of town at some point. I mean, we're getting a lot of calls out there now that you have the volume of people.
It's needed.
But whether it's on co-located with the airport where it can provide that ARF, that air, fire, and rescue, I don't know yet. We'll have to see.
Would that replace a firehouse?
Yeah, we're going to restructure the firehouses over time. We need to relocate a few of them. There's some of them are kind of old, so we've got a whole overall plan, but that'll be the first place that we need to serve better. We serve that from the fire station on Fruit Ridge and then the one on Holman, and it's, you know, it's a pretty good way for the Holman company to get there. And, you know, you hate to have the ladder truck going from Fruit Ridge to respond to medical calls a lot. So
yeah,
we're trying to reallocate some things in the coming years.
So with all that said, then, of course, the last big things we mentioned, the fire department, is any of that, would any of that help? Everybody's going to be curious. The overtime situation, because there's a problem.
What
there.
Fixes the overtime is us hiring firefighters. You know, yeah. when you look at our budget, and you see that when overtime goes up, it's because our firefighter numbers are down. So we're saving on salary and benefits, and we're paying out overtime, which is less expensive for us. But when you get down to a certain point, it just doesn't make any sense. We can't cover the shifts. And so you'll see overtime drop significantly this year. It's just because we're hiring 10 firefighters right now. We're going to hire 10 at the end of the year. We've got 7 guys retiring in the next 6 months. We have a lot of older firefighters, and so they're leaving. I think we've got 36 people on the list to retire in a very near future. And so,
I know this is apples and oranges, but are we having the same problem with firefighters that the state's having with teachers? Are we having a hard time finding people that want to be firefighters?
The list is not gigantic for policemen or firemen. People don't really want to get into those professions. I think we have just enough people to keep doing it, but it's tougher and tougher all the time.
Yeah, and so does that mean the city needs to come up with bigger, better pay for those
folks? Well, I think our pay's pretty decent. When you compare us to similar cities, our starting pay might be a little better than a few, but they kick some incentives in sooner. In the other case, there are people that we lose people to other fire departments, though. You know, we've lost some to Carmel, Bloomington, they pay more. And so, you know, we get a firefighter trained and they say, you know what, I'm willing to go somewhere else. I'll put my name in the hat. And if they get selected, they can leave and increase their pay significantly. So it's definitely a balancing act of what we can afford to do to keep the best people we can, but we're still going to lose some, you know, to other departments.
And Life PD, what do you think?
Yeah. I think it's turned out just fine.
Are we've taking had a few care of everybody that needs a flashlight on their bicycle and all that kind of
You know, sometimes I think what's good about it is people understand that some of the stuff we deal with every day is things you don't really think much about. I think it has made us more conscious about interaction with the public. It makes you more wary of, you know, that there's cameras everywhere, not just Live PD, but everybody's taping everything. I think it makes you more accountable and do things. We've got a great police department, but you know, we're dealing with sometimes people that aren't in their best behavior at the time. Things can get out of hand, and I just really appreciate the fact that we can de-escalate in the majority of the time, and it doesn't turn in where people are getting injured. And, you know, there's a lot of weapons out there. I mean, every call we go to, you never know what's going to be on the other end of that call. And so it is not you could watch it on TV, but they're showing you the things that are entertaining. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, really is just people don't have a lot of respect for teachers, law enforcement officers, or anybody these days. And I'm hoping that shows like this, things like this, can make us all a little bit better.
Comparatively speaking, it seems like we've got it fairly easy compared to some of the towns that are also on that show, because we don't have nearly the...
No, I think we look at that and think we're very fortunate in some ways.
Yeah. And we also find out, too, that there are some people that the officers have to deal with out there that need help.
Absolutely.
And they aren't on their best behavior, and they're not necessarily equipped to be able
to. We want to be able to provide. Sometimes people getting arrested is a life changer for them. And we understand that. And there are people out there that have, whether it's addictions or mental health issues or just whatever's going on, the stress in their life that causes something to get the police involved. You know, you want to try to help people turn their life around.
All right. Tara, Mayor Duke Bennett, what's the biggest thing you're looking for on your calendar next?
Getting the police station done. That's really what I'm focused on right now. We want to get our guys in there and gals and utilize that facility. I'm really pushing that one hard and making sure we get the convention center, get the ground really broken on that. and get this casino ground broken too. Those three things still come to the surface again.
When the police station's open, you guys gonna have a kind of like an open house?
We'll do
something.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's gonna be some great space.
All right, Terry Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That's it for this week's Focus on Community. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.